The housing market is hot. There are three times more buyers than sellers. It's more important now than ever to make sure you have your financing in place before you even find the house. Get pre-approved today at thehomeloanexpert.com. The Home Loan Expert, LLC.
Well, the lock hit last night. Easy again as Houston won. But the big story coming out of that was a battle over a jacket. It's a jacket. It's one of those long jackets that they used to wear on the frozen tundra back when your dad liked football a lot more than you did because you were a kid playing with your G.I. Joe. Ed Oliver's not playing. He's the big star for Houston, but he was cold. So he had the jacket on that fits nicely over your shoulder pads and covers down to your legs to keep your legs warm if you're in the game. That's against the team rule, according to Major Applewhite. And he went over and helped a assistant trainer take the coat off of Ed Oliver. And then he went back to try to explain to Ed that wasn't signaling him out because he was healthy enough to play but wasn't playing. He said he was doing it. He did it to a lot of people. If you're not playing in the game, you can't wear those coats. Ed Oliver didn't like it. They argued going to the locker room, got caught on national TV, and it became the story of the game. Who you with?
I'm with Major Applewhite here. He's got a rule there. Ed Oliver, and reports before this jacket situation went down, and I don't know how much of that game you guys were watching, but they were talking about Ed Oliver was out there running around, jumping, playing catch. He looked 100% healthy. And to me, Major Applewhite, he's invested in this program, and the other guys are invested. And I understand Ed Oliver is going to be a top 10 draft pick, and he's got a huge future in the NFL where he's going to make a ton of money. But if you're invested in this program and Major Applewhite knows you're probably healthy and you probably can play, he's got to be a little frustrated.
Yeah.
And now Ed Oliver wants to kind of skirt the rules, and he wants to be wearing a jacket where if you're not more than likely a starter or at least playing, you're not allowed to wear the jacket. I totally agree with Major Applewhite here.
The criticism I saw of Applewhite was you shouldn't embarrass him like that. You're about to go in at halftime, talk to him at halftime, maybe pull him aside. Well, first of all, Applewhite didn't know it was going to be on camera. I mean, I know the game's on TV, but you can't walk up and down the sidelines thinking, okay, everything I do could be on camera. You got to be who you are, right? And you don't also know what led up to the shot we saw. An assistant may have walked by and told him, hey, get the coat off. Or a trainer or a manager or a football ops guy.
Well, he did because they showed the
there was a conversation going on when Applewhite walked
when
up.
When Applewhite walked up and started to physically take it off of
him,
there was a trainer of sort or GA or whatever trying to get the jacket back because somebody needed the jacket.
So you don't know that some – well, first of all, if you're Houston, how do you not have a jacket for every player? But that's beside the point.
Yeah.
I know it is Houston. It rarely gets that cold in Houston.
Brown, he did bring up the point. I'm sure they've got a big enough budget where they can afford jackets. But he said, look, I don't like my guys all wearing jackets when it's 50 degrees outside.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. And these are, if you missed the game or the video, these are those specialty long jackets that are, you know, big and puffy and fit over your shoulder pads. They're made for you to wear and to drape over your shoulder
right
when you're in the game.
But I think we're lying to ourselves if we don't think there is some frustration by Major Applewhite towards Ed Oliver that probably led to his reaction.
The video before the game of him jumping and catching passes and dancing and running full speed.
He looks like a guy that's saving himself for the NFL right now, doesn't he?
It's kind of obnoxious. Yeah. You know, and I understand, look, if you want to, and Le'Veon Bell, look, to each their own, however you want to handle this thing. But you've got to abide by team rules and Major Applewhite. And I guarantee you there was a conversation with a grad assistant or somebody on that sideline where Ed Oliver said, you know what, I'm going to keep my jacket. And then it got back to Major Applewhite. Major Applewhite's rules are his rules. So I give him a lot of credit that, you know, it's a guy like Ed Oliver and he doesn't make exceptions.
You can vote right now at Jock's Roundtable, though, in our first Dreamland Barbecue poll question. We've thrown that out early this morning for you to get in there. And it's pretty simple question. Who looks worse in the Houston jacket episode? I refuse to call it Jacket Gate.
Like Jacket Gate?
Like they were hesitantly calling it last night on SportsCenter. Ed Oliver or Major Applewhite? Now, again, that's not who's right. It's who looks worse.
Well, can I say where Applewhite looked good is walking off the field when Oliver's giving him an earful. He kept his cool. He just kept walking. He got to the locker room. He didn't make it a worse situation than it was because he could have turned around and snapped at Ed Oliver.
Yeah,
but and God only knows what happens there.
I think there's reason why, and I think you remember back to how bad some of those Texas offensive lines Major played behind. he knows what people like Ed Oliver do to quarterbacks like him.
They've hit him before
when he breaks through the line.
But even with the interview with Laura Rutledge, I mean, I thought he handled himself extremely well.
Yeah.
You know,
I
think Major Applewhite actually came out of this looking good. And look, let's just flip it around. Major Applewhite's obviously a coach that doesn't have a ton of credibility. But if Nick Saban does this to a Quinnen Williams, people are like, yes, that's
right.
Nick Saban. That's
gotta
what
play
he
by
needs
the rules.
To do.
Of course, Alabama would have had two jackets for every player, Lance.
That's true.
And all the grad assistants.
Yeah.
Do you guys think that...
Do you want the ones with the batteries?
Is there any chance that Oliver plays again in the Houston uniform?
No, Ed Oliver's done at Houston, no. I would imagine.
Well, he kept telling Laura last night, Laura Rutledge, who was on the sidelines, he kept telling her that if it's for the championship next week, which there's a chance if there's an upset on Saturday, if it's for the championship next week, a division championship, then I plan on playing, is what Ed Oliver told her.
If I'm a Heisman finalist, I'll think about it.
But, I mean, this isn't about should Ed Oliver be playing. I understand Ed Oliver not playing. As they were pointing out several times in the broadcast, Todd McShay, they even got him on the phone. It became a national crisis. And they got Todd McShay on the hotline. And so they're doing a phoner with him during the game while Houston is scoring touchdown after touchdown. And he says, listen, Ed Oliver does not come from a lot. And in just a few months, he's going to make $30 million, and coming back from this injury, you know, though there will be a majority of people who say you quit on your team, it makes financial and business sense for him not to play again.
It's a business decision. But I would say, Lance, as we stand right now, as long as Major Applewhite is the head coach of Houston, that on Sunday Night Football, it's Ed Oliver, Westfield High School, Houston, Texas.
Yeah, I would tend to agree with
until
you.
Until Major's gone.
Look, I get it's a business decision, but when did it get to this point? Quinnen Williams came out of nowhere. This is not a guy that was projected to be a first-round guy going into this year. Quinnen Williams is projected to go above Ed Oliver now to make millions more dollars based on where he will be slotted. Quinnen Williams is obviously playing for a national championship, but if Quinnen Williams said, you know what, I'm going to shut it down because I'm going to be number two or number three overall, I understand. I've already got one of these rings. I've already got a national championship. I don't need to play anymore. How different's the story?
Well, I think Ed Oliver has dropped for two reasons. One is the injury a little bit, but two is that he's out of sight, out of mind, and maybe he can work his way back up when he goes through the tryouts and the combine and workouts and stuff. But, you know, I think part of the things I ask myself as I just watch players, and if I was an NFL person, I would ask the question, do I want that guy on my team and in my organization? And if they're equal or close to being equal, I'm going to take the guy who is a competitor who's playing things out more than a guy who's upset about a jacket.
But here's the difference between if it were a Quinnen Williams to do it or, you know, Rashawn Gary at Michigan or somebody like that, Lance. Those guys have a chance to win a championship, and if I'm an NFL franchise, Ed Oliver doesn't.
Right.
Well, I guess a conference championship, but not a national championship. But
he's at Houston.
Yeah, if I'm an NFL franchise, I look at that and say, man, if winning a championship matters that little to him, I don't know that I want him. Yep. But if he's Houston, I probably look at it differently.
Yeah, but for those other guys on that Houston roster, you know, they didn't sign there to necessarily win national championships.
No.
To win an AAC is a big deal. And Ed Oliver is the difference, a guy that can actually help you win a conference championship. I see what you're saying, Brown. But again, and I'm not saying he quit on his team and you can do whatever you want and you can make the argument, I guess, either way. But if I'm one of these NFL scouts, too, and I see him out there before the game and I know he's 100% healthy, there is a reason, as Dunaway said, that he drops from number two to number seven overall.
I will tell you this. Here's the bottom line. And basically, he's showing Major Applewhite up in the pregames. Major seemed okay with him. He said it a couple times last night. And listen, I don't like Major Applewhite. I don't even know, you know, there are several things that I have never liked about Major Applewhite.
Can I tell you a Major Applewhite story real quick?
Oh, wow.
That you like?
Okay, so
let me finish my thought real quick on
ahead.
That. He said a couple of times last night that I understand what he has to do, and he's got to do what he has to do. He said that a couple of times, but you can't go out there. You can't be... I'm not going to play anymore with you and then be out there on the field in pregame, jumping and catching, passing and running around. Stay on the sidelines like you're hurt. Respect the process and don't show me up.
Even if you're not hurt.
I'll play the game with you and make you look okay that you're still battling back.
You're
not 100%. He's not cleared. But don't freaking go out there and show me out, you know, Odell Beckham warm-ups, catching passes, out jumping my receivers on TV and then you're going to show me up on the sideline.
It's the equivalent, Lance, of me calling in sick today, and then you guys see me out at Top Golf tonight. No. I've shown you guys up. I've shown Ryan Haney up. You know, I've shown everybody up because I'm not sick. I'm scamming the system.
It's checking out of school, and then you seeing me out playing.
Yeah, well, I've done that, Jeff.
Well, we all know you're doing it, but again, don't take it to this level.
Exactly.
But Major Applewhite had an opportunity when Alabama did the home-and-home with Oklahoma and knew a guy that actually played baseball at Oklahoma and went out there, and he was really good friends with Major Applewhite. So I got to hang out with Major on that Saturday. It was a fun guy, a really good guy. And then he did the show a couple of times, and this is years ago. But then he got on Mac Brown's staff, and he started to become big time.
He big timed you?
Yeah, you're going to have to go through, you're going to have to go through public relations, you have to go through the university, that kind of thing.
I was just asking, how are you?
Yeah, so he started to rub me wrong a little bit. But the more you watch him grow as a coach, and he seems like one of those guys that can get on the wrong side of people. But I appreciate what I saw last night from Major Applewhite.
You know what I do if I'm Major Applewhite today? I go down to some Houston kid shelter and donate like 100 jackets. Just to get on the good side of the PR, right?
Houston won the game, by the way.
They did. Well, 48-17, by the way, was the lock. We only ended up laying 7.5 at kick.
Yeah.
So easy winner for you, Les.
7.5, and 48-17 is the final in that one. Bad loss for Lane Kiffin. I mean, North Texas is good, so it's not a bad loss, but it's a loss that puts Lane now at 5-6 and in jeopardy of being bowl eligible after winning Conference USA last year and sort of had the talent back to do really well. It was just a tough, really interesting game. I'm up to the end on that one on the 8:30 kick, watching a 41-38 ending. And for Lane, first of all, the tan he's got, the Boca tan.
Oh, yeah?
When it's cold outside, people that have that kind of tan, they really stick out.
Mike Shanahan, he used to do that.
It'd be pouring snow in Denver.
Yeah, and Shanahan had the orange face over there on the sidelines.
And Lane had that going. I don't think it was my TV. I think Lane had the Boca tan working last night as well, which, again, the Boca tan works great when you're 11-1. When you're 5-6, this looks like you're out fishing a little too much, Lane, or on the golf course.
Yeah, is it one of the top 10 most disappointing programs in college football this year?
This year, yeah. And they got to beat Charlotte to get bowl eligible. That's not a layup.
It's not a layup.
No.
Absolutely not. So we'll hope. I like Lane. Hopefully he gets it bowl eligible this year. But that was a good, well-played game last night, 41-38.
Do you guys think there's any chance he gets a job after this year?
Nope.
Because, he was the hot name going into this year. I haven't heard him. Look, and there's only three Power 5 jobs that are open right now, but he's not linked to any of those.
I think if you swap the 2 years, if he had done this last year and did that this year, you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I think he might be the lead candidate for Louisville if Brohm turns it down. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I could see that.
Yeah.
All right, Rockstar, yesterday, I got to mention this just right off the bat here in the first segment. Alabama played a basketball game against Northeastern, and Rockstar, what's Alabama basketball right now?
Oh, my God. You know what they are?
What?
Done.
Done.
Shut it down.
They're done.
Shut it down.
That's a tournament team. Everybody told me that was a tournament team.
That is not a tournament team.
That's what everybody said. Oh, they're going to win.
I don't even think they'll be eligible for the SEC tournament.
They're going to win.
Done.
No, I'm not talking about Alabama. I'm talking about Northeastern. People were telling me on Twitter yesterday, well, they're going to win their conference and get in the tournament. That doesn't matter. There are not a lot of Northeasterns in the SEC.
Well, I hope the committee doesn't match us up again.
Boy, they looked awful.
68-52. Dante Hall, you know how many points he had?
Would that be zero?
Same number as Rockstar.
Yep.
Zero yesterday.
I thought Petty looked good. He played well.
Well, I mean, that was the only
bright
player
spot.
Double figures.
I know.
Well, he had 17, but Brown, they were 3 of 19 from 3-point land.
Couldn't throw it in the ocean.
37% from the field. Alabama loses in basketball.
I like Avery, but if he doesn't make that that layup, Colin Sexton, was it against A&M in the regular season that actually ended up getting them in the tournament?
No, it was in the SEC tournament.
Yeah.
Okay, if he doesn't make that layup, what kind of a hot seat is Avery?
Very.
Especially with what is about to happen across the state at Auburn this year.
And in the SEC as a whole, there's some good teams in the SEC this year.
There is. Just 82 miles from Avery's front door is Mississippi State, who's got a lot of veteran people back.
Tennessee's good. I watched LSU the other night. They're good.
Tennessee's a Final Four contender. Auburn's a Final Four contender. Kentucky,
State's good. Yeah, like
Final
you said.
Four contender. Yeah. LSU. Texas A&M, though, they got woodshedded at Gonzaga. They scheduled a good game, went out there, and got beat late night last night. Best thing about Alabama losing, or the worst thing about Alabama losing, I got to play again today, 12:30, Ball State in Alabama.
Ball State any good? They're going to win their conference and make the tournament?
I think they're in the loser's bracket together, right?
Or well, yeah, I don't think you get a winner there.
Yeah, so that goes at 12:30 later today, and you can watch it again if you like to on ESPNU. Scoobs is on a cell phone. Hey, Scoobs, how are you?
I'm doing well, guys. How are you?
Awesome.
I got a couple of questions for you. First one dealing with Bobby Petrino. Do you think he gets any type, and I say when I say any type, I mean any type of head coaching job, or do you think he goes straight coordinator this year? That's my first one.
I don't think he'll do anything this year. I think he'll ultimately get a job. And remember, this is a guy that kind of dove back to Western Kentucky. I know it's a different spot for him. He's still got a huge ego. I still think he believes he can coach. And I think a lot depends, Scoobs, on what comes out with this. Is this just really a case of one weird year, kind of an outlier, where everything fell apart, or is there things behind the scenes, which I know you guys have probably heard that. I hear there's a lot of things that are going to come out. And if a lot of things come out and more baggage, he might end up becoming an untouchable.
You know, I talked to an Auburn fan last night that asked me my thoughts on him being Auburn's offensive coordinator next year. I think that's fairly isolated. I don't think that'd be real popular among Auburn fans. But this guy told me, he was like, I'd rather take Bobby Petrino's baggage than Hugh Freeze's baggage. That's what he said.
Yeah, that's some rough stuff. My second question going with
Let's don't pretend they don't both have baggage, though.
No. But I think, and I know this is going to sound weird, I think I trust turning my back to get a soda out of the fridge more with Hugh Freeze behind me than I do with Bobby Petrino behind me.
That's probably warranted, yeah.
Yeah, look, I mean, I'm one of those that believes a leopard, you know, changing the spots is really difficult to do.
Right.
But I think if there is a reinvention with somebody, I could see it more with Hugh Freeze. I think Bobby Petrino is past a point of no return.
Yeah, when he fell off that bike, he kind of lost it all. But anyway, dealing with Aaron Rodgers, I pretty much, in my mind, think it's safe to say it's over for him this year. Do you think as a whole?
Did you not hear him on the post-game interview?
He said brah.
Brah. What kind of questions
that? I was already asleep.
Yeah, we'll play it for you in a little bit. But he disagrees with you, but I tend to agree with you. I think loser of the game going into last night was going to be done. Green Bay can't win on the road. I think they're done.
I hear you. And now, in addition to that, do you think that's, I guess, some to deal with his early injury, or do you think it's Green Bay as a whole?
I think it's offensive line. I think it's defense. I think it's a lack of playmakers outside of Devontae Adams.
He's been playing hurt, though. He's been playing hurt some.
Okay.
He has, but they're missing some pieces, though. Here is Aaron Rodgers after the 27-24 loss last night. Seattle beats Green Bay. Russell Wilson was good. Aaron Rodgers wasn't horrible, but his team loses again. They're now 4-5-1 on the year, so the question is pretty poignant. It's 4-5-1. He just lost again, Aaron.
There's any hope left for the season?
Come on, Rod. What kind of question is that?
I don't know. I mean, come on, man. I can't win on the road. What are you going to be able to do?
I don't even know how to answer that, Rob. I mean, come on. What am I supposed to say? Of course there's hope. Of course we believe in each other. You know, it's just going to take one galvanizing moment. So whether that's a speech or a practice or something happens in the game, something's got to get this thing going.
Now, I don't think he says bra. I think he says Ron. Come on, Ron.
Oh.
Come on, Ron.
For the season?
Come on, Rod. What kind of question?
Rob?
I like bra, Ron, Rob.
Rob. Rob. Okay.
Okay. Does it go to, backed out.
Listen to the whole response to start with. I mean, it goes to his name eventually a couple of times. So the first one.
Any hope left for the season?
Come on, Rod. What kind of question is that?
I don't know. I mean,
come on, man.
Can't win on the road. What are you going to be able to do?
I don't even know how to answer that, Rob. I mean, come on, what am I supposed
Rob.
To say?
Yeah, I think it's Rob. Yeah,
you're right.
Yeah,
come on, Rob.
I thought he went Bryce Harper on us here for a minute.
Come on,
look, it's not a question that makes a. I mean, look, I understand the question. Why ask it? There's no way he can answer that.
But I think the Falcons are done. The Packers are done, right?
No, the Packers are done.
Different division.
You guys agree with that? The Packers are done.
No, the Packers can still get in there.
No, I think they can still get in. Listen to the rest of their schedule. And, first of all, they've got three road.
Good luck their next road game.
Okay, hang on.
They got to go through Detroit.
Yeah, but to your point, Brown, is that when you're 4-5-1, if you win, you know, your final seven games, or is it six games?
Well, they've got six games left. Yeah. They're at the Vikings next Sunday night.
They've got to go 5-1.
That is probably do or die at the Vikings. I would agree with Lance on that one. But after that, you get the Cardinals, who are no good. You get the Falcons. What are they, Rockstar?
D-O-N-E.
You're at the Bears, who are really, they're the surprise team, maybe the whole NFL.
And let's not forget the Bears were up 21 against Green Bay earlier this year.
You're at the Jets, who just fired their coach, and you're against home against the Lions the last day of the regular season. They're already talking about firing their coach, Rockstar. There's always reports that Patricia is on the chopping block.
He's in his first year.
I know there's a pencil behind my ear and my hat's turned around, but please, dude, sit up when you ask me a question in this news. Stop laying back. But 5-1 down the stretch. 9-6-1 gets you into the playoffs. You're in the mix for a wild card.
9-6-1 might win that division.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. They're going to go 5-1 down the stretch when they're sitting 4-5-1 right now.
It is do or die for them Sunday night.
It takes a galvanizing moment, like a speech or something, he said.
But it would be, Lance, you have to admit, I know the Vikings are 5-3-1. You have to admit, it would be like the NFL for Green Bay to go win that game Sunday night in Minnesota.
Okay, but again, not only do you have to win that game, you've got to win at Chicago. I just don't see them winning both of those games. To me, Green Bay, based on the fact that they haven't won on the road, based on how bad that offensive line is, how bad the defense can be, and you saw it again in the fourth quarter with Russell Wilson going up and down the field. Green Bay's just not a good team. Aaron Rodgers still a tremendous quarterback, and I think you've got a weapon that you are underutilizing right now in Aaron Jones. That guy needs to get more touches.
Bobby says you guys need to listen to that clip again. Pretty sure Rodgers is saying, cool, brah.
Welcome.
All right, your reaction on Twitter. Joe writes in and says, I think Major Applewhite looks like a petty loser in this situation. If this was week four and Oliver was coming back to play, then this wouldn't even be a story. It looks like the old give me my ball back, I'm going home situation, says Joe there. Clint says, it was poorly handled by the head coach. He should have had an assistant handle it, not the head coach. I think somebody was trying to handle it, and Ed wouldn't give it back over to him.
Again, I mean, if this is Nick Saban doing this, everybody's applauding Nick Saban.
James, I would have loved to have seen no one holding Oliver back from his coach. I bet he wouldn't have put on such a show at that point. You get an abundance of that, which you tolerate their coach at that situation. And then Miles says, would this even be a poll question if it was a third-string left guard? I mean, really, quit putting players up on a pedestal and above the law based on draft stock. He's gotten so much media and fan response erroneously backing him that he actually believes he's in the right in this situation. It is a jacket. It's a jacket, brah.
It's a rule.
Do you know in SEC games only, the team that is scoring the fewest number of points in the Southeastern Conference is Mississippi State. Just 11 points per game in conference games.
You know, that's the surprise, I think, with hiring Joe Moorhead, is they've become maybe the second best defensive team in the league. So at times this year look like the best defensive team in the league. And their offense has struggled. You would have thought Moorhead would have gotten offense right first.
I would have said LSU was the worst in the league. It's got to be close, though.
11 points per game versus SEC opponents. Dead last in the SEC, Mississippi State. You know what fixes that? Home game versus Arkansas.
Yeah, that'll help.
Yep. We always tell you good basketball games to watch tonight around the country. Looking. I'm sure there's some tournament games somewhere. Ole Miss at Butler could be fun. 7 o'clock on FS2. And maybe, again, check the tournaments because, you know, UConn had a big win last night.
They did over the Cuse, right?
Over Syracuse.
Yeah.
And Danny Hurley, the lesser-known Hurley brother, getting after it on the sidelines. And people will joke that there's no importance to November basketball, but you can get a resume-building win or two in November and December and then go play 500 in your power conference and end up getting into the tournament. So these are big wins if you get them.
Well, I thought the interesting thing from that game that I saw was Jim Boeheim's kids actually playing for Syracuse now, and they spelled his name wrong on his jersey.
How do you do that?
Fantastic. I mean, his name is on the court, right?
Yes.
That's crazy.
He's only been the coach there about 40 years.
Okay, back to college football. Here we go. Four downs brought to you by our friends at Vulcan Tires.
First down.
We'll sprinkle in some stats as we move along through this. More rushing yards in the 2:30 CBS game, Missouri or Tennessee? And I asked the question because Missouri In the last two games, total 474 rushing yards. So they've had two good running games. Who rushes for more yards?
Yeah, Mizzou, I would go Missouri. I mean, to me right now, this Tennessee offense still lacking identity. They're still trying to find their way. And Missouri, still a good offensive team that's got some balance, although Drew Locke is kind of the emphasis there. But as you mentioned, Dunaway, the last couple of games, they've been able to run the football. So I would say Missouri.
Tennessee is dead last in the league rushing the football. So I think you got to go Missouri here. I'll give Pruitt credit. He's been smart enough to continue to run it, to keep teams honest, but they just can't run the football.
How is Missouri against the run, I wonder? Because Tennessee, Garantano's been very good, by the way. And he's only turned the ball over. Two interceptions all season for Jarrett Garantano.
Yeah, Missouri's fifth against the run in the league. 134 a game is what they give up.
Missouri's your answer there.
Second down.
Indiana battling Michigan. Michigan's held five teams to 10 or fewer points. Five of them this year. If I put the over-under for Indiana scoring 13.5, you go under or over?
I'm going to go over. Look, it's been impressive what Michigan's been able to do defensively. And look, this total's only 53.5, which is kind of a low total in college football. But still, to continue to hold opponents to under two touchdowns in today's college football, really difficult.
I think I'll take the over.
You'll take the over as well?
Just slightly over. Probably garbage points late.
Okay. Third down. The big primetime game is Cincinnati and UCF, and freshman quarterback Desmond Ridder has been a story for Cincinnati. In this game, when it's all said and done, better night, Ridder or McKenzie Milton?
I'm going to go McKenzie Milton. You know, Cincinnati has been, it's been a great story, and Warren running the football, and it's one of the better defenses right now in college football, at least in the AAC. But still, there's so much hype on Central Florida losing this game. And McKenzie Milton, he's a gamer. He's been doing it for 22 consecutive games. I think he makes it 23 consecutive games.
I think he's the reason Brown, they have this win streak. I think
his, McKenzie Milton,
his play, his leadership, his poise under pressure. I mean, there were times last year in the Peach Bowl that Auburn was in his grill and he handled the blitz, the pressure, perfectly.
And I agree with Lance. It appears to be a guy that is able to raise his game in big moments like he did in that Peach Bowl last year. And this is the biggest moment they'll have this year. They'll be on national TV against a quality conference opponent. This is the biggest moment they've had all season.
That's why I think it's easiest money on the board.
UCF?
Yeah. Seven, right?
Yep.
That's what I saw last night, seven?
Not so fast.
Not so fast, my
friend.
Fourth
down.
Finally, UAB's at Texas A&M. UAB set a record this year, 35 sacks. They've got 35 sacks. Kellen Mond holds the ball a little at times. Had a couple of turnovers coming out of the break last week. How many sacks? If I put it at 1.5 for UAB, over or under 1.5 sacks in the game against Texas A&M?
Oh, I'm going to go over.
I'm going to go over, yeah. You know, A&M's the worst in the SEC about protecting the quarterback, Lance. They've given up 32 sacks this year.
Yeah, I don't know how much they're buying into UAB. Look, obviously these guys are watching film, and when you watch film, you can see how explosive UAB can be defensively. But Kellen Mond, as you mentioned, is still a guy that will hold the football a little long, still a raw project to me for Jimbo Fisher. And I think this game's going to be a lot tighter than most people think.
That's Four Downs brought to you by our friends at Vulcan Tires. More surprised if Cincinnati beats UCF. Forget the point spread. Actual wins. Cincinnati over UCF or UAB over Texas A&M?
UAB over A&M.
That surprises you more.
Yeah.
But it's a legitimate question, which speaks volumes about where these two games are.
But you actually are giving Cincinnati a real fighting chance then.
Well, yeah. I mean, you're kind of talking me out of Central Florida. I mean, I like Central Florida. I think Central Florida is a better team than Cincinnati. I think Cincinnati's been a great story this year, and Luke Fickell's done a really good job with it. They just don't have the athletes that Central Florida has.
Listen, I'm 0-2 this year picking against Cincinnati, but trust me.
Wimp's got him dialed in. We need to check with Wimp.
Yeah.
He didn't go with him. I guess that tells you all you need to know.
Feels like a second-half boat race. UCF boat races.
Well, getting on national TV. I mean, the ABC game with game day in town. This is the biggest stage UCF will have all year. Right. They seem to handle that stage pretty well.
You either melt under it or you excel under it.
And
right?
They seem to have excelled under it the last 2 years. You got to give them credit for that.
And keep in mind, Cincinnati also knows they're playing in the game day game and in prime time on ABC with Fowler and Herbstreit, the game they always have to watch when they play those measly Thursday night, Friday night games. They go home and they're there on Saturday night and they're watching all the hoopla around that big primetime game. They know they're in it too. How will Cincinnati handle it?
Well, Fickell will have them convinced. Everybody in the country thinks they're a high school team by the time they get to this game. So, I mean, this could be a great moment for Luke Fickell.
Luke Fickell, LT.
This could get him a big job, really. You win this type of game.
Luke Fickell at a place like Louisville, you could see it. At a place like Ohio State or...
Well, he's already had Ohio State once. That's the problem.
Yeah, I mean, he
I know, but it was a bad year.
He was the Band-Aid that held it together.
Yeah, but it was
an interim year, and he went 6-6. It wasn't a great look, but remember, he's a defensive guy.
And this is his program now. Ohio State, USC, any of those type of jobs. Can Luke Fickell ever get one of those jobs? Do you see Luke Fickell getting a gig like that?
Well, I could see Maryland, because Maryland wants a steady guy.
I don't think I'd leave Cincinnati for Maryland.
Ooh.
I don't know. It'd be tough. I mean, he's a Big Ten guy.
But I see your point, Brown, that you're in a situation where you can win championships and maybe get a better gig at Maryland. Can they ever navigate Michigan State, Michigan, Penn State, and Ohio State?
You're in that
ever,
bad division.
Ever to even get there. Can I tell you that if you want to make a lot of money, go play opposite of my late-night landmines. I'll retweet them from Roundtable. Bobby just pointed it out, and I didn't even notice it. He was like, holy cow, that's a lot of chalk, Jimmy Lehman. I'm 62-51-1 on the year. But as I look at these picks, I think I'm going to have a horrible week.
How many do you do total a week?
I do 10 a week.
And you've got 8 favorites.
So this feels like a 3-7, right?
It does feel like a 3-7. I don't think I've had a 3-7 all year. Forrest is in Tuscaloosa.
How's it going, guys?
Hey, Forrest, doing great.
Good. In a kind of a self-proclaimed bad weekend for SEC football, two games I wanted to ask y'all about, and I'll just ask you about both of them, and then I'll hang up. One, the Arkansas-Mississippi State game. I know Arkansas's pretty bad record-wise, but I'm still kind of impressed with Chad Morris for some reason. I don't know if he's just selling me something that I shouldn't be buying, but anytime I hear him talk, and I sure as heck when I look at the recruiting trail, I mean, he is well underperforming, but 21.5 just seems like a lot. I know it's at State, but, I mean, there have been some games that Arkansas has played well in and still lost. Also, and then the Missouri-Tennessee game, Missouri at Tennessee, Tennessee's played well of late, and I mean, even played well against Alabama in comparison's sake. I mean, I just feel like, well, I think 6 is not a lot. I think that that could be a line that would just be interesting to look at, and I just think Tennessee has an interesting shot to win that game. I'm obviously not a Tennessee fan, being an Alabama grad, but I always root for Jeremy Pruitt, so... Anyway, I just want to get y'all's take on both of those.
I think with Arkansas State, I think this is a game where Fitzgerald can finally get back to running the football. Alabama completely took him out of the game last week. I would imagine, I would set his yardage, his rushing yardage at 140. Would that be a good over-under?
I was
going
to do 150.
Okay.
Dunaway brought up the fact that Mississippi State is last in the conference in scoring in conference. And this is an opportunity against this Arkansas defense where you can actually make some noise. And if you go back and look, and I backed Arkansas, and we all remember the how that game ended up with Brossette actually taking a couple of knees or at least falling down short of the goal line to cover.
Right.
But this is an Arkansas team that couldn't score on LSU. You know, they were down 24-3 going into the fourth quarter, and they had a couple of touchdowns late. But this Mississippi State defense is better. So I think Arkansas will have a lot of trouble moving the football. And I do agree with you, Brown. I think Mississippi State's offense can get a little healthy against Arkansas. I kind of like, if I'm playing this game, I think I would lay the points.
Yeah, let me counter your stat with this stat. Arkansas is 13 out of 14 in conference scoring defense, Dunaway. They've given up 38 points per conference game. I think everybody knows Ole Miss is the only one that's worse. Ole Miss has given up 42.8 points per conference game.
Yep.
That's insane.
And Jordan Ta'amu is having a fantastic year. Nobody's talking about it because they just can't keep up.
I know. I mean, but they are just giving up points by the boatload. But Arkansas is second worst. So I think State's offense can get right in that game.
Absolutely. I did want to ask this before, you know, we solve on this show, we solve life problems. And we won't get into details, but I just gave you a scenario of me on a text messaging last night with a friend. And then I make one joke and then the friend is off out of the text messaging the rest of the night.
That friend ghosted you.
And then I feel like that maybe I crossed the line with that text.
Right.
That was a joke, a little not suitable for work joke, but then I don't get a reply back the rest of the night.
Well, let's see this. What time did that person last respond to you? At what time was your last text message?
I think it was 9:18. My last text was 11:44.
There you go.
I did
probably
a lot.
Somebody was in bed.
No, but 9:18 is when...
You were going back and forth at that point,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, okay. Back and forth at 9:18. From 9:18 on, it's nothing. And then it's like in a movie, you know, where you call somebody up and it's like, Hey, just joking, back when there was answering machines, and then...
No, the most uncomfortable answer machine scene ever was in Swingers. I don't know if you've ever seen it.
No.
He gets girl's number and starts calling first night, leaving message after message after message. So awkward, so uncomfortable.
And so by the end, it's like, I don't know why you're so upset.
No, she finally picks up and says, don't ever call me again.
Yeah. I may get then, don't ever text me again. But I was trying to help, and then...
I think this person has a pretty good sense of humor, and actually a pretty edgy sense of humor. I know this person.
Yeah.
Well, you're right.
All right.
I mean, there are times when I'm going to bed and we've got a text going on, and sometimes you have to put your phone down and say, I'm done with it. I got to go to sleep at some point.
I just always assume you're mad at me, Brown.
Well, it's always the safest. Shut up, Rockstar.
One of our Dreamland Barbecue poll questions today, who looks worse in the Houston jacket episode, Ed Oliver or Major Applewhite? Right now, 74% of you say that Ed Oliver looks the worst. Rules are rules. But 26% of you say the coach looks worse right now because it's only a jacket that he could have handled it differently. You can go vote right now at Jock's Roundtable.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say a lot of you are stuck in traffic right now. It's the feeling I get in today's show. Rockstar's going to cheer you up and give you something to look forward to after that traffic. It's his viewing menu presented by You Break I Fix.
So same company, new name.
Same company, new name.
Okay.
You Break I Fix.
8 p.m. on Freeform tonight. I saw a comic earlier this week of a, there's a cow and it's very emaciated and very sickly looking, very skinny, very sad looking. And Mickey Mouse has a bucket and on the cow's teats, it says Toy Story. They're going to do a new Toy Story.
Mickey's milking that one.
I mean, like, it is the poor cow. He's like, no.
Number four.
No more.
Number four.
No more, please. Mickey's got about eight buckets in his hand.
Yeah, all they do is make money.
I guess one and two were good. I don't even remember. It's been so long.
Well, tonight is one. Toy Story 1 is on Freeform tonight.
It's classic.
Never seen it.
So I called it when, you know, the last one, when the kid goes, no, spoiler alert, when the kid's going off to college and he puts the toy in the box, in the box and all that, I called it and I said, there'll be another one because that guy will have kids and he'll pull out his old toy.
I think that's what it's going to be.
Well, also,
or it could be the prequel.
Finally, remaking a classic, and they said they got all the voice actors to get back on board. They're remaking Shrek. Do you remember that series called Shrek from a long time ago?
How many of those did they do?
Three or four, but they got the cast back and they're going to remake it. There's going to be a reimagining of it. 9 p.m. on Ovation. If you want a family film about going on vacation, a little boat trip, Cape Fear.
Boat trip doesn't last long.
Good attorney.
Yeah. Really, really good film, though.
Back to the phones we go. Jeff in Trussville is next. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, guys. My question is this, because I'm an Auburn graduate, and I know Bo Nix is coming in next year, and he's real heralded. So I'm hearing these things that Kelly Bryant may end up at Auburn. My question is just, have y'all heard anything about Kelly Bryant? And even if he did, or with Malik Willis or whatever, wouldn't y'all go ahead and just, because we've got two great freshman receivers, we've got two great, great receivers coming in from high school next year, wouldn't y'all go ahead and just start Bo Nix as a freshman and just ride the freshman pains and, you know, build for the future?
Well, I mean,
I
think if Gus Malzahn thinks he's trying to save his job, Kelly Bryant might be the safer choice.
Yeah, I mean, if you think that you've got the ingredients to make a run at the championship and Kelly Bryant gives you that better opportunity with the experience, then I think you would have to go with Bryant.
The long-term health of the team, it could be better to go Bo Nix. But for a 1 year where I'm coaching for my job, I'm going to go with the guy that saves my job.
Bryant is making a second visit to Auburn. December 4th is when he's expected to make his announcement.
It's the Jocks Roundtable with LT, Dunaway, and Brown on Jocks 94.5.
We're behind. They're all fired up. We got class. We're going to find it out. We got class, and I know we got it.
Intercepted T. Intercepted T. To the 10, to the 5. He cuts left. Touchdown! Touchdown!
Tonight's what our program's all about. I want you to think about it and let it sink in deep. This is the reason we work you in the summertime, in January and February and the spring. This is the reason why we push you beyond what you think you can do to experience moments like this.
Nix is going to float one to Sanders. Sanders, oh, he caught it at the 2, and he dives in. Touchdown, Auburn! Touchdown, Auburn! Oh, my goodness!
First thing, our defense has got to go out there and take the ball. Our defense just has to go and take the ball. Then when we get the ball, we're going to have 11 people. 11 people just going to do their job, whatever it is. Just going to do their job and try to score every time they get the football.
Here's the snap. The kick. It's in the air. It has the sticks. It's good. It's good. It's good. It's good. It's good. It's good. It's good.
Sure, I'd like to be 12-11-0. But I'll tell you something, I wouldn't switch this year for any year that I've been at Auburn. I wouldn't swap it, man, because I watched you struggle and I watched you wrestle with them angels, but I watched you grow up and become men.
45-50. 45. There goes Davis.
Oh, my God.
Davis is going to run it all the way back. Auburn's going to win the football game. They're not going to keep him off the field today.
You know, you don't talk about winning championships. You do what you got to do it. Let's quit talking about it. Let's go do what we got to do it.
The roses in this grand old stadium are once again crimson.
My goal is to get this thing turned around and play championship football like Auburn expects.
The kick is good! Auburn wins! 22-19! The Tigers are BCS National Champions.
It's my honor to present the Coach's Trophy to Coach Nick Saban and the Alabama Crimson Tide.
He's going to go 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown! The Alabama Crimson Tide has won its 14th national championship.
The process continues. Nick Saban with his third national championship at Alabama.
Fourth quarter, Alabama up big. A.J. looks, throws a strike right in the middle. Touchdown! Amari Cooper, another one.
That's my free bird.
I couldn't believe it didn't do better in the poll last week.
Oh.
But I appreciate Rockstar sneaking it in on us.
Paul says Rockstar's Rod Bramlett kills me every time.
I hope he hadn't heard it.
Yeah, I was going to say, I wonder if it kills Rod.
I don't think it would be BFF.
Rod's got a good sense of humor.
Patrick, please do that Rockstar version every Friday. Brian says, yes, starting the 8 o'clock hour off with a laugh. If you are new to our show, and we know many of you are in the mornings, that is Rockstar doing our old version of our game day song. And he's doing every voice along the way. All of those voices were Rockstar. That was not the real Rod Bramlett call or Brent Musburger.
As similar as it sounded, it was not.
I will never not laugh at, oh my God! I will never not laugh at that.
Well, you can tell in the end of the clip, you can't hear it. He's very vague. Stan knows he's not supposed to talk at that moment. You can kind of hear he covers his mouth. Oh my God! he covers his mouth like, sorry, Rod.
Sorry. Stepped all over you there with the biggest call in school history, maybe.
That's like a behind the music little moment there. You're letting us in on the old making of the game day song there. Fantastic. The big story coming out of last night in college football, Houston won the game easily, but Ed Oliver, a first-round projected draft pick player for Houston who's not playing, explodes at his head coach, Major Applewhite, going to the locker room at halftime. Chilly night in Houston. Ed Oliver was wearing a jacket, one of those specialty jackets that drapes over your shoulder pads that are reserved for players who are playing in the game. Major Applewhite had Ed take it off. They got into an altercation. Here's Applewhite after the game.
We just have a rule on the sideline that guys that are participating in the games, and specifically starters, you know, that they have jackets so they can stay cool. And I went and talked to him at first, and I think he was upset that I took it from him. And I wanted to go back and explain to him that, you know, I've asked other people tonight to take it off. And I just want you to understand that I'm not singling you out. I'm not trying to pick you out. I've asked other guys on the sideline to take it off. I'm trying to be fair. You know, I'm just going to visit with him about it. I love him. I want him to be a part of our team. I want him to be with our team. It's really nothing more than that. You'd be amazed how many emotional things you deal with all the time. With players, so you know, this is just one that you see, but we deal with things like this all the time as coaches. That's part of our job.
It's Major Applewhite last night in a story that continues today. Lane Kiffin's team lost last night as well to North Texas, 41-38. Florida Atlantic now 5-6 on the season. Kiffin and Florida Atlantic will need one more win to become bowl eligible. Dan Dockage, friend of the show, tweeted yesterday that Louisville will name Jeff Brohm their coach the day after the season ends. Brohm responded by saying, there's nothing to it. Do you believe there's something to it?
Yes, I think there is something to it. I think if Brohm is really offered the 7 years, $5 million a year, to go back to his alma mater, a place that you can actually win championships, I don't think there's any way he turns this thing down.
Les Miles settles with LSU for a one-time buyout now of $1.5 million instead of payments continuing through 2023. He was 114-34 in 12 years at LSU. That settlement tells you guys what?
He's got a job. Here's why. Any job he's got offset language in his contract and that settlement. So LSU has to pay. They don't have to pay him as long as his contract exceeds the amount they owe him. You see what I'm saying?
Exactly.
So basically that was lost money either way. If he's got another contract, it benefited him to settle, get a lump sum, let them off the hook, and you walk away with a $1.5 million, and now I take a job that pays me $2 million, and I get the whole $2
million. No way you're going to take this lump sum if you're not going to take another job. So why would you not just collect monthly payments for the next 5 years?
And Northeastern beat Alabama yesterday in basketball 68-52. Yes, I did not say Northwestern. I said Northeastern 68-52, though Northeastern can very easily make the NCAA tournament if they win their conference tournament.
Well, yeah, 29 people can do that.
Everybody can do that. 68-52, Alabama 3 of 19 from three-point land. They play Ball State today. Alabama does at 12:30 on ESPNU. Those are your headlines. Melvin is next in Birmingham. Hey, Melvin, how are you, man?
All right, pretty good, guys. How are y'all?
Awesome. Thank you.
I was wanting to take off my orange and blue glasses for a second about Auburn basketball, but I wanted to know from y'all if Austin Wiley, if Bruce Pearl can get him to develop an inside presence, a strong inside presence, are we a legitimate Final Four contender? Thanks, guys.
All right.
I think 100%. And it's hard to say you're a Final Four contender when you've never been to the Final Four. We've never had a team in our state and major college basketball to go to the Final Four. But, and I've said this before about this Auburn team, you look at most recently the South Carolina team that made it to the Final Four out of the SEC, some Mississippi State teams of years past, some LSU teams of years past. This Auburn team is better than those teams. It's put together better than those teams. They're 10 deep. And on,
they can shoot it. They can shoot the lights out.
They play defense. They play pace.
Yeah, now you've got some size when you look at a guy like Wiley. And this is a team that's now in the top 10. So nobody's going to be surprised if they make that Final Four run. And it seems like every other year you've got some type of Cinderella that makes a Final Four run. We saw it with Loyola last year. So Auburn's obviously got the talent where Bruce Pearl's finally got this thing dialed in. It was a really good team last year. It's going to be a better team this year. So, yeah, I think they've got an opportunity.
Well, the thing to watch, Brown, next week, the Maui Classic, Auburn plays Xavier, and then if they win, they get to test themselves against number one Duke in primetime, 7 o'clock on ESPN. So
I was just about to say that. Xavier is unranked, so Auburn should win that game.
Xavier's a good basketball team. It'd be a good win.
It would be, but again, it's an unranked team. I mean, the vast majority of the country thinks you're better than them.
Projecting this forward, we should on Tuesday night see Auburn to Duke.
And that's, you like to talk about a shakedown cruise, Dunaway. That's one of your football terms where, used to when you had a boat, you'd go out and you'd get it up to high speed, check for leaks and things like that. Duke is a heck of a shakedown cruise because he just asked us, is Auburn a legitimate Final Four contender? Well, Duke is. And most people think everybody else is playing for three spots in the Final Four right now after they've seen Duke. So you'll get a pretty good idea how you measure up to a Final Four team.
But even if Auburn lost that game, doesn't mean...
Well, it's November.
Yeah, doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
But it's a great way to... If you want to start building your case as a one seed in the NCAA tournament or jumping to number one in the polls that really don't matter, the AP or coaches poll, you beat Duke and all of a sudden you'll turn people's heads. Then after that, I mean, you can get a game with Gonzaga. Saw Gonzaga dismantle Texas A&M last night.
I mean, Gonzaga's number three right now.
Yeah, so you're out there with the big boys. It's an opportunity next week in Maui for Auburn really to flex their muscles.
Can I make a real quick point about Duke? Gary Parrish just tweeted this. It's his 2019 mock draft, his first one. Number one, Zion Williamson, Duke. Nobody's shocked at that, right? Number two, R.J. Barrett, Duke. Number four, Cam Reddish, Duke. Three of the top four players in Gary's draft, mock draft Duke player. So that's the kind of roster they've got. So, I mean, there are a lot of people already talking undefeated Duke, and it is way early on that. They're 2-0. But that's, I mean, when you watched what they did against Kentucky, it's hard not to think. As a matter of fact, I saw Darren Rovell tweet, this guy, Lance, and I'd be interested in your thoughts on this, this guy and some of his friends pooled their money, and they're just betting the Duke or the Duke money line every game. So, and I think they started with $500.
Yeah, well, they ended up losing.
You don't think they're going undefeated?
I don't think they're going undefeated.
They feel like they're going to go undefeated. So this group, and they tweeted Darren Rovell.
I mean, again, when's the last time we saw an undefeated team? Was it 1981? Was
yeah,
it 76?
Indiana, whenever 70, it was.
76 was the the wall-to-wall one, right?
Yeah.
So they pull their money, and they're just betting. They're doubling down on Duke every single time on the money line.
Yeah, if Kentucky couldn't do it in 15, if teams like UNLV couldn't do it, I mean, it's just so difficult to do because, again, Duke's playing in a conference in the ACC where you've got Virginia, you've got North Carolina. I mean, top 10 teams just right there. You've got Florida State, you've got Syracuse, top 25 teams.
I'd skim a little off the top as I went along.
Oh, if you were running the little league there?
Yeah, then they'd be happy at the end. I said, hey, I skimmed us a little off the top.
Guess what? After they lose, I got it some.
Back to football. Notre Dame, big game with Syracuse. A lot of people think they can lose this one at Yankee Stadium. Kirk Herbstreit says Notre Dame has to be special or they could be a team on the outside looking in at the college football playoffs.
I think with Notre Dame, maybe not this week necessarily because Syracuse has a higher ranking, so the perception is that would be a better opponent. But I think that they need a strong statement at the end just to solidify themselves in case there is any potential nasty, messy stuff. They want to make sure that they're safe and in the clubhouse.
But they don't want to be in the cluster. Meanwhile, there's UCF.
I don't get that, though.
Well, I see what you're saying. If they're unbeaten, they're in.
Yeah, I mean, there's no way. Because, I mean, you think about it. Even if you've got Michigan as well as they're playing, if they went out, they've already beat Michigan head-to-head, so there's zero chance.
But the scenario, the only messy situation really becomes is if Alabama loses to Georgia in the SEC championship game. Okay, so Alabama's unbeaten. Georgia's there with one loss. Georgia beats Alabama. Everyone says Georgia's in, right?
Yeah, you put Georgia, Alabama, Clemson in. I get it. And then it comes down to Big Ten champion or undefeated Notre Dame.
No, to me, it comes down to if you're Notre Dame, could it be, does it come down to Alabama and Notre Dame? And are you going to put down 12-1 Alabama, who has looked so great?
No, I think Alabama would get in before Big Ten champion.
The messy situation that Herbstreit's talking about is Notre Dame beat Michigan head-to-head.
Right.
And Michigan would be viewed as playing much better football at that point.
Right.
And then you've got Alabama, you know, in that situation.
If you've got Alabama, and if you're comparing them to Notre Dame, Alabama was 12-0. Notre Dame was 12-0.
Neither are a conference champion.
Neither a conference champion because Alabama plays an extra game that Notre Dame didn't have to play. They lose that game. They have the same number of top 10 wins. You know, you start comparing resumes, Michigan's may actually look better than Alabama. It's Alabama-Notre Dame that may not pair up.
No, it's a messy situation.
Yeah, I don't think there's any chance, though, Notre Dame undefeated gets left out.
I would agree with Lance.
I would agree with you. But
if nothing else, they'll knock out Michigan.
As Herbstreit is saying, you don't want to get into that cluster. Win them all and look good doing it. Don in Inverness next with us. Hey, Don, how are you?
Go throw some sand in the back of those trucks and let's get working on those bridges.
Let's do that. Let's get after them, man.
If it's on Lance and Jim, we got trouble.
Yeah, I work downtown. I am so happy that I had a meeting this morning in Shelby County. And we're going 65 south, and I got on right at Highway 31 where one of the wrecks are. I was like, my goodness, it's still going back up.
That's terrible.
All the way back to Alabaster, as far as I can tell.
To tell you what kind of truck drivers Lance and I are, Don, if we do put sand in the back of those trucks, that may be the first thing we've had in the back of those trucks.
Yeah. Somehow I figured that.
Yeah.
Only thing that's been in that truck is the Love Actually CD that you watch.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, scheduling. Like many folks, I am not a huge fan of this weekend that's coming up in the SEC. I understand it. I get it. All this good stuff. I like it better than what Alabama and I guess for the Auburn folks too were doing, which was going, let's play 11 straight weeks and then take our off week. And then you know, roll to the Auburn game because then you were just basically exhausted going through LSU, Mississippi State, and all that. But the bigger issue to me is what's going on over in the Big 12, where you're going to, you know, this messy situation. They decided to have the championship game. And now you've got, you know, all they cared about was Bedlam, changing Bedlam. Let's make sure Bedlam's not the last weekend, because it could be a rematch.
Yep.
But then you've got West Virginia, Oklahoma, which could be a rematch. We know that if those teams split those games, goodbye Big 12 chances. Why doesn't the Big 12, I don't know, if secretly do it and go, here are the five best teams that, generally speaking, historically are the best. We're going to have you play the five worst teams.
Well, you know, they
historically.
Yeah, they kind of.
Last week.
Yeah, they put, you know, their last, Kansas' last two games are Texas and Oklahoma, and I don't think that's by accident.
No.
So I think they looked at it when they redid this, and they thought, there's a good chance Texas and Oklahoma are our two best teams going forward. We'll throw Kansas to them at the end. The problem is, you threw West Virginia to Oklahoma at the end, and all of a sudden, Holgorsen's got the thing turned around. You know, I don't know if you give them Kansas State or what, but...
Yeah. I mean, like, traditionally, like Oklahoma State, West Virginia, and who am I, and probably, I guess, of recent vintage, TCU, you just, in Texas, you just go, you guys, we're going to put you against the bottom feeders. And if by somehow, some miracle, Iowa State or Baylor or whatever, you know, comes up and becomes good, okay, well, then we're screwed for the next week. But I'd much rather do that. But it seemed like all they cared about was the whole, you know, Oklahoma State, Oklahoma possibility of rematch, which good luck trying to predict what Oklahoma State does week to week, much less year to year.
Yeah, Don, yeah, thank you.
You're dead on.
Yeah.
You know, the scenario is if Iowa State wins this week, and I think it's if West Virginia was to lose, I think Iowa State's in the Big 12 championship game.
There is a path to get there for Iowa State. And in a one-game scenario, I like that team a lot, don't you?
Well, yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, they gave Oklahoma a little bit of trouble early on, and obviously this is a team that ran West Virginia off the field. This is a pretty interesting number, too. When you look at Iowa State over the last 2 years, and you guys remember how bad this program was, they've beaten everyone in that conference over the last 2 years except for Texas and Kansas State, and they have that opportunity the next 2 weeks to beat those two.
Right now, we get away from our football conversation, and we have a little laugh with Rockstar every week. It's the Dr. Lou and Friends segment brought to you by our friends at Wagner's Team Sports.
Now.
And now we go to a live look-in to the Citadel football team's locker room.
Man, we got us a game ahead of us today. And I know I've heard people around these parts and the media chirping about us, saying stuff like, Alabama's going to destroy Citadel by at least 70, and that the game's going to be over by the middle of the first quarter. Or how we can't match up with them in any way, shape, or form. Well, you want to know what I think about that? I'll tell you right now that I slightly disagree with all of it. Oh, we gonna get beat, but it ain't gonna be by 70. And they gonna score plenty of touchdowns, but you know what? They ain't going to be jogging into that end zone. You know why? Because we're going to be chasing them. They are going to have to sprint all the way to the end zone to score on us. The whole way. We may not tackle them, but they sure as hell going to know that we're at least trying to. And another thing, we have an advantage over them. The starters aren't even going to play the whole damn game. And you're going to try to tell me that they're going to beat us by 70? Please. You know, in that one kid, he can't even run without a damn knee brace on. A knee brace. So you listen to me, and you listen to me good. Today's the day. We gonna prove everybody wrong. Today, we gonna inspire the doubters. Today, we bury the haters. And today, we rise like a mountain. Because those tectonic plates of college football, boys, they're shifting. And we're going to be tearing through those cracks. It's going to be on this foreign soil today that the world will have their eyes open, and the view that they will be presented to their newly cleansed eyes will be a scoreboard that says Citadel 3, Alabama 55. I believe in you, boys, and I hope you believe in me. We worked too damn hard to lose by 70. Too hard. Let's go out there and show the world that we're going to lose to Alabama by 52. Y'all huddle up. It's time.
As the sun peeks through the clouds, the chill in the air comes with it. As we welcome you to Bryant Denny Field to view our gladiator match.
Music.
The movie trailer there. I'm watching that one. I will tell you, I thought he was about to read the Dos Equis label to him right there. And,
or the Dr. Pepper commercial.
Or I thought it was Fanville for a second.
Fanville.
It was Fanville for a second.
Was that Eli at the end?
It was.
Oh, yeah. Twice he's been on the show.
Yeah, he's been a little under the weather this past couple weeks.
Technically, officially.
Not Eli. It's a fake Eli.
You think Boz gets an Oscar for Fanville? I'll tell you, I like the opposing cheerleader, though.
Of course you do.
Wait, this is a tech fan. Dolores, you got some explaining to do. Josh Heupel, now the coach at UCF. Boy, he inherited a good situation, right? He knew when he walked in that the national hate for UCF was going to be very, very high. Here's the coach.
Our players compete. They try not to pay attention to the outside noise, and taking over this program in January with all the national championship talk and what had happened the previous season, we understood the bullseye that was going to be on our chest. We try to get our players to buy into the mantra of going 1-0 every single week, and you can only do that by controlling the controllable, which is how you prepare every single day leading up to Saturday.
Make your pick right now. They win it or not?
They win.
Forget
cover. Just
win. I think one of two things happens. I think it's either a Central Florida blowout, 21+, or I think actually Cincinnati wins the game. If that makes any sense to you,
it makes sense.
Yeah.
I have a feeling they rise to the occasion, keep this thing rolling.
I do too.
We had one caller earlier said two top 10 teams lose this weekend. You guys see two top 10 teams losing. Well, he had Washington State and West Virginia.
I don't think Washington State's going to lose to Arizona again. It's been a pretty good spot over the last couple of years for Arizona as an unranked playing ranked, but I think Washington State continues to focus and do what they've got to do. I could see West Virginia, just based on Oklahoma State being really good at times. Now, this could be a West Virginia 21-point win, but Oklahoma State has the potential to beat a team like West Virginia.
If you're a subscriber to The Athletic, nice story on UAB. And they played up like this. Outside the office of UAB Athletic Director Mark Ingram, the AD, has a framed $1 bill. It came from a 5-year-old Ohio State fan. And it's the story of what has grown into a championship season at UAB. That and The Athletic today. A lot of love nationally for UAB as they go and play Texas A&M. Rockstar, if you will, give me cut number 11. This is head coach Bill Clark talking about the matchup between his Blazers and the Texas A&M Aggies.
I mean, they've got a dynamic quarterback, you know, skill everywhere. Probably, I mean, no doubt the best running back we've seen other than what we see in practice against our own self. I mean, this guy is just electric.
A compliment to Spencer Brown there, talking about Travion Williams. It is a dynamic running back, and at times Kellen Mond can be really good. We saw that against Clemson. But this game for Texas A&M gets really precarious if Kellen Mond has a bad game.
Well, yeah, but that's what I think it does come down to the quarterback position, because Mond is one of these guys that can be exceptional. He can be below average. But for me, UAB, as good as their defense is, quarterback play scares me to death. And UAB's ability to actually turn it over at the quarterback position, if UAB can play clean at that position, whether it's Early or Johnston, I think UAB's actually got a shot to win this game.
Well, you know, and I know he was giving his guy a shout-out, but Trevion Williams is a top 10 running back in the country as far as yards per game, and he's done it in a conference where it is traditionally very difficult to run the football in the SEC. That aside, here's what is the uphill climb for UAB. Texas A&M is number 2 in the nation against the run. So the yards are going to be tough to come by. Now, the good news for them is UAB's 14th in the nation. So you got two good rush defenses that will try to take away what both offenses want to do, and that's run the football. So I guess you would just say whichever one, you know, turnovers are always a factor here, but whichever one can most impose their will on the ground probably has the best chance of winning this game. I mean, it's an uphill climb for UAB. Nobody, I know this is a lower than normal line, but this is an uphill climb for them. I mean, they're going on the road to a difficult place to play against a really good rush defense.
I'm so excited to watch this football game. I'm not going to say it's the most excited I am to watch a UAB football game, but it may be.
No, I think I'd say that.
Yeah, because of the weekend it falls on and the platform that they have on ESPN2. Can't wait to see that one tomorrow night, 6 o'clock ESPN2. You can hear it on our sister station, David Crane, and the pregame show starts at 5 o'clock on our sister station, Jocks2. 100.5 FM. It's time to look at Monday's headlines today in our spotlight.
It's the Farmhouse Victory Grill Spotlight.
Monday's big storyline.
Hey, it's chili out there. Baumhauer's signature chili, it is back. You can try it in a cup or a bowl on one of your favorite dishes like the chili cheeseburger, the loaded baked potato, the chili nachos, or more. Just stop into one of those great locations today, a Baumhauer's Victory Grill. Legendary fun, legendary food.
All right, Brownie, what do you have for us this week?
Irish will need Angels in the outfield. The Cuse wins 31-28.
So you like Syracuse to win that game?
Now, I've said it for weeks. I think Syracuse wins this game. The Irish will then need Angels in the outfield to get in the playoffs.
My problem, if Notre Dame goes down like this,
yep,
they're going to go down in a horrible uniform. And I know they're trying to work in the Yankees.
Bad luck.
The Yankee uniform into it, but the pinstripe pants and the pinstripe on the jersey, the dark Notre Dame. I love Notre Dame's uniforms. I hate to watch a Notre Dame game when they're not in their classic uniform.
It was like the Alabama game where they went to the houndstooth collar and had to go to overtime to beat Ole Miss. They should have burned every photo of that, every jersey, and never worn them again. That's what Notre Dame will have to do if they lose this
game.
Yeah,
Brown, my problem with your prediction here is it's too predictable right now. I think everybody is pointing way too much to this is the opportunity. I think if Notre Dame is going to lose, I think it's going to be even more off the radar, and I think it comes next week in the Coliseum.
Mine is doors shut on bowl season, Ole Miss over Vandy. That's actually a realistic headline.
For
the Tennessean or something. I think Ole Miss's offense just too much for Vandy. I don't think Vandy can keep up scoring-wise. So I think Ole Miss beats Vandy 6:30 primetime game on the SEC Network. That's our Monday's headlines today, brought to you today by our friends at Baumhauer. We wrap up the show on a Friday, as we always do, with our picks for Week 12. I really cannot believe the season has gone this fast, though, honest to goodness.
So depressing.
Because just when we were talking about Utah State in the last segment, I remember so much watching that first game, and it seems like yesterday. We're always to the end.
I know.
We do the last big thing every day, and it's brought to you by ERAKing.com. Give me your picks. LT, start us off.
I'm going to take Notre Dame at a pick. It looks way too easy for me. I think Syracuse, quality team that will be able to score some points, but in the end, Notre Dame will win that game, and I think they win it going away. I've talked about UAB keeping this thing close with Texas A&M. You're giving me 27.5 now with that defense. They've held 6 opponents to 10 or less points. I will take UAB. And then Washington State, Arizona might cause a little bit of trouble, but Washington State is dialed in right now. Minshew's playing at a high level. He'll be able to move the chains against this defense. I like Washington State at a pick.
All right, Brownie.
I'm going to take Mississippi State. Again, if these lines sound weird, it's because it's 10-point teaser weekend, and I can tease State down to an 11.5-point favorite against Arkansas at home. I think they'll run up and down the field on Arkansas. Oklahoma is playing Kansas, and I've only got to lay 26.5 to that offense. Yikes.
Be careful.
And then Penn State is at, you think Kansas got something?
You never know, man. These teasers look easy, so easy.
It does. Penn State is at Rutgers, who is awful, and I'm only having to lay 17.5 there. For a Penn State team that's leaked a little bit of oil, but they'll get right against Rutgers. So I like Mississippi State, Oklahoma, Penn State.
See, I do think the best way to play these teasers are the extreme games power and play them down like that.
Right.
I'm playing it the wrong way. You should do it to go 3-0, but these are the picks I had back on Monday.
Okay.
And I was going to stay with them because I think tease lines, normal lines are straight up, these are three winners for you. And they're the three high-profile games in the SEC. Missouri at Tennessee on CBS. I like Missouri to win the game up, cover the normal spread, easy on the teaser. I like Notre Dame in the big game nationally, 130 NBC. Everyone thinks Syracuse wins. I like Notre Dame to cover whatever point spread you're going to cover there. And then everyone thinks that UCF finally loses, that they'll melt under the game day pressure, that they'll melt under primetime ABC pressure. I don't think they do. I don't think Cincinnati's as good as they look like they are on paper. I think UCF flexes their muscles. So give me UCF, Missouri, and Notre Dame, and I think it's an easy 3-0. But in teaser week, that's how you end up losing, playing those games, because there are winnable games for Syracuse, for Cincinnati, and for Tennessee. I'm really wondering about Tennessee this week to see what you get, because they played. It was almost a perfect storm last week against Kentucky at home, and Kentucky coming off that loss. So now Tennessee, there are people that expect something from Tennessee now.
Well, you know, they've got – well, they don't have to win this game to get bowl eligible, but – they can get bowl eligible by winning this game. They'd have another shot next week at Vandy.
Yeah, they could play for sunshine.
Yeah, they could play for a better bowl. I mean, just Jeremy Pruitt getting this team to a bowl would be remarkable enough. But if they weren't like the SEC's last bowl team, if they're actually at a Music City Bowl or something like that, that'd be an amazing job by Pruitt.
Yeah, there's no doubt. Yeah. And it's hard to believe Tennessee's in this spot, because just a couple of years ago, Butch did win 9 games.
I know. But he didn't last year. And for Pruitt to get that turned around like that. But I'm like you, man. Missouri, I say this, man. They had a tooth and nail had to fight to beat Vandy at home last year.
Down double digits.
Huge comeback. Yeah. So this Missouri team, they're about as sketchy as it comes. You never know what you're getting out of them.
All right. Fun show today. Thank you for your participation all over the board. Rockstar, thank you for your laughs. Everyone, enjoy your weekend. Everyone, enjoy your weekend. The football that starts tonight with championship implications in the AAC, a Memphis and SMU. And again, as you travel to your state playoff high school games, be careful. And is it Hewitt Trustful Thompson Part 2 tonight?
It is.
Oh, man. How much fun that'll be this evening if you're heading to that one down in Alabaster. For Alabaster High School, right? Is that what Brad Nessler calls it?
Yeah, your boy Ness called him Alabaster High School. That's where Tua's brother plays.
Thompson.
Hey, it's the Roundtable, guys. We thank all of you for taking time to listen to the Roundtable Rewind. That means a lot to us, but especially Weapons System Officer in the United States Air Force, Scott Ray. He listens to the Rewind every day. He's in his 6th deployment. He's right now in Saudi Arabia, and he loves the Rewind.
And he says the one thing he misses about home on a football Friday is the Dreamland Pick 3.
Hey, and Scott, we appreciate you being a loyal Roundtable listener. We appreciate your service, and here is the Pick 3.
All right, 7:24, start us off, Brownie.
Troy and Al, I had to clear my throat. Troy and Alabaster is next. Hey, Troy.
What's going on, guys?
Hey buddy. What's happening, man?
Doing good.
Good. Fire away.
Before I get to this, though, I want to send a shout-out to Mark Freeman and say good luck to Thompson as they play Hewitt tonight.
All right, very nice.
All right, man.
But, guys, I'll take, give me West Virginia.
Okay. Yep.
Washington.
Yep.
And Clemson.
All right, buddy.
Clemson. Let's start right there with Clemson. Clemson and Duke, interesting matchup there. Daniel Jones coming off of a big game against North Carolina. Can he keep that rolling against Clemson?
Well, Daniel Jones is a quarterback coming into this year. I knew there were some NFL guys looking at him. Mel Kiper's got him as number 2 quarterback behind Justin Herbert right now, so he's playing extremely well. You look at Duke, though, all-time 0-18 against top 3 teams, and they haven't won in Clemson since 1980.
Kelsey in Birmingham is next. Hey, Kelsey.
What's going on, guys?
Not much. You good?
Pretty good.
All right.
Let me get Michigan,
okay.
Georgia, LSU.
All right.
Michigan, Georgia, and LSU. For Michigan, they're playing Indiana. We talked earlier about just how good Michigan's defense is. That's the matchup everyone wants to see against Alabama, it seems.
Well, they're looking to become the first FBS team since the 2011 Alabama version to allow fewer than 200 yards per game in conference play. That's impressive.
Scoobs on a Cell is next. Hey, Scoobs, welcome to the Dreamland Pick 3.
All right, thank you, guys. It's that time. So let me get the Ohio State memory loss.
Let me get the bounce back, Fresno State Bulldogs. Jim, I need you to finish it. Give me blank or give me death. I'll see y'all later, guys.
Liberty is his answer there. Let's look at Ohio State. They're on the road at Maryland, the same place Texas lost in the opener. This Ohio State team has not looked great at times. They've looked uninspired at times. Got a good feeling they play well this weekend.
Well, they're 4-0 against Maryland since the Terps joined the Big Ten, winning by an average of 39 points per game. Dwayne Haskins still an elite quarterback, especially when you look at the numbers. He's still got an opportunity to shatter Ohio State single-season records. He's already passed for almost 330 yards. He's got 33 passing touchdowns. And you look at Maryland. They've lost 12 straight to top 10 opponents. Their last win over a top 10 back in 2007 over number 8 BC and Matt Ryan.
Eric is in Snead. Hello, Eric.
Hey, how are y'all guys
doing? Awesome, man. Thank you.
All right. Give me North Carolina State.
All right.
West Virginia. And this is my upset pick. Give me Cincinnati.
Oh, Cincy. Oh.
Cincinnati. You're going to get a lot of that, Lance, because UCF is just one of those teams that a lot of people, especially in this state, are starting to dislike.
Well, and you look at this team. I mean, they've met three times before in the AAC. UCF's won all three of those games at least by 21 points each and every time. Cincinnati, you've got a quality running back in Michael Warren, 108 yards per game. He's second in the FBS in rushing touchdowns with 17. But Cincinnati, in their history, they've never beaten a team ranked as high as number 11 on the road, 0-23 all time.
Jeff and Aniston is next. Ahoy, Jeff.
Yada, yada, yada. I have sucked. let me get Arkansas, Nebraska, and Middle Tennessee.
Thank you, Jeff.
Arkansas on the road at Mississippi State there in Stark Vegas.
Well, Arkansas, you look at Chad Moore still looking for that first SEC win since joining the SEC in 1992. The Razorbacks only winless in conference play once. That was in Brett Bielema's first year back in 2013.
Mm. Brett Bielema's first year seemed like a lot of hope for Arkansas back then.
It did. Seems like a long time ago, too.
Yep.
Jeff on a cell is next. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
Awesome, man. You good?
Good. I'm in the woods hunting, so I got to whisper. hey, what's the spread on the Troy game? I mean the UAB game.
UAB is 27.5. You can get UAB plus 27.5, and Troy is minus 13.5.
Okay. Let me get UAB.
Okay.
Let me get Michigan.
You got them.
And what's the Liberty Auburn spread?
Which side do you want to play that? Because they're two different spreads on this day. It's a teaser. Auburn's minus 18.5, and then Liberty's a lot. You get a lot with Liberty. You get,
so I could get
plus
Auburn at minus 8.
Minus 18.5.
Yeah, we've adjusted it.
Minus 18. You know, I just can't trust them. I tell you what, let me go ahead and get, let's say Michigan, UAB, and
I hope you're hunting for an answer really quick.
Who's your last choice?
Boy, I hope you're better prepared than that tree stand.
who's your last choice?
Yeah. You got bullets in the gun?
No, kid. Yeah. Let me get West Virginia.
Okay.
Died a thousand deaths.
The caveman, prehistoric times. cavewoman, did you catch anything today? No. Made pick three picks. Was not convinced.
Will and Trustful is next, Brandy. I'm going to move it along.
I have nothing I can do there, buddy. Hey, Will.
Hey, Will.
Hey, gentlemen, I'll be very quick.
Yeah.
Liberty, Citadel, and NC State.
Yeah, you jinxed yourself.
NC State, LT, you talked about this possibly being a popular play. Finally, I think we're coming to the end of Ryan Finley as the quarterback.
Really?
Well, yeah, finally. Yeah.
Is he retiring?
He's only got a few more games left as the Wolfpack quarterback, still one of the most efficient quarterbacks in college football. Again, this number looks really skinny, especially when you tease it down against a Louisville program that Lorenzo Ward will try to at least galvanize and get them to play a semblance of 60 minutes. I just don't know if they can do it. I have no idea what has happened to this Louisville program.
All right. Dreamland Pick 3 continues when we come back. You can jump on the phones with us, 834-9450. This gives us a chance to reload our gun, resituate ourselves here.
All right, here we go. This is part two. You can hit it again at 930 or always online, jocksfm.com/pick3. It's the only way you can play the Dreamland Barbecue Pick 3. Kerry in Trustville is next. Hi, Kerry.
Hey, guys.
Hey, man.
Let's go with Cal.
All right.
Go to Nebraska and Minnesota.
All right, man.
There's a chance the Cal-Stanford game doesn't happen because of smoke, the air quality, but if they do play this game, It seems like, and I know it's hard to say, but it seems like Cal sort of has the upper hand.
Yeah, I would agree. You know, Stanford, to me, it's just amazing where they are right now. They're not playing physical football, but you look at Justin Wilcox, and by far, not even close, best defense in this conference right now resides in Berkeley. They've covered four straight this year. They're 11-4 in this role as a dog since last year. Wilcox has got this defense dialed in. Stanford's going to have a problem moving the football.
Mario is in Birmingham. Hey, Mario.
Hey, good morning.
Hey, buddy.
Hi, I want to take Penn State,
yep,
South Florida, TCU.
All right.
Here's Penn State. Boy, what an off-the-radar year it's been since that great Ohio State game. They're getting healthy playing at Rutgers, and the way we play this, they're only giving up 17.5. Looks easy.
This series between the two began 100 years ago last week on November 9th, 1918.
Happy anniversary, baby.
Trace McSorley still looking for win number 30, though, and this has been weeks still trying to become the all-time winningest quarterback in Penn State history. He'll get it this week. Rutgers, one of only eight FBS teams who are winless in conference play right now.
John is in Cottondale. He's next. Hey, John.
Hey, guys.
Hey, bud.
Iowa.
All right.
The Citadel and Boston College.
I'm worried about Boston College, Lance. Now, we're going to give them 9.5 in the teaser here because they're playing at Florida State. Was it you, Brent, that picked an upset alert? Somebody liked Florida State at some point.
Yeah, it was
point.
Me. I think they'll play them tight. I think that they'll come to play. It was my...
Sneaky good game. Yeah. So what do you think of Boston College injured a little bit coming down off the loss to Clemson?
Well, Anthony Brown obviously banged up at the quarterback position. A.J. Dillon's still not 100%. You look at Florida State with a loss, the Noles would fail to reach six wins for the first time since 1976. They're allowing almost 32 points per game, which would be the worst in program history. They gave up over 30 points per game back in 1973. This defense is awful. But I do think that they'll come to play tomorrow.
Yep. Got to win this one to go to a bowl. There's no other way around it. Charlie in Birmingham is next. Hey, Charlie.
Hey, guys. You know, I remember the time when you only had three phone lines coming into your radio.
That's crazy, isn't it? How we've grown. Look at us now.
Yeah. Now I've got to wait for eight people to go before I get
the. Are you looking over our shoulder? Charlie, are you looking over our shoulder? You know how many call lines we got?
I can count. Yeah,
okay.
Go to school. Anyway, give me Misery, Auburn,
yes,
and Syracuse.
You got them.
On Syracuse now, I thought this would be a sexy pick because Notre Dame looks like they're bleeding in the water a little bit for some reason.
I think people are just waiting for Notre Dame to lose. Believe it or not, the second meeting between these two at Yankee Stadium. Did you guys realize they have done this before?
Yeah, apparently Notre Dame used to play a lot in Yankee Stadium, didn't they?
Well, this was way back 1963 on Thanksgiving Day. Syracuse won that game 14-7. This is the first ranked matchup in the city of New York since 1950 when we had number one Army going against number 18 Michigan.
Ooh, I bet that was a good one. Michael in Vestavia. Hello, Michael.
All right, guys. Two teams in the top 10 will lose this weekend.
Uh-oh.
I'm taking Michigan State.
Okay.
Oklahoma State.
All right.
Arizona.
You got it.
Arizona. Arizona, LT, traveling to Pullman against Washington State. Boy, I don't want to go Forrest Gump, but you never know what you're going to get. It's a box of chocolate with Arizona.
Well, I'll tell you, as an unranked team, the Cats have won four of their last five against ranked teams, so they've been really good in this spot. But you look at Washington State. They're two outright wins away from playing in the Pac-12 championship, and they haven't won an outright conference championship since 1930. It's all about Gardner Minshew leading the FBS, 385 passing yards per game. And this is a team that's won 12 straight and kind of a tricky place to play in Pullman, Washington.
Lance is in Baltimore. He is next on the Dreamland Barbecue Pick 3. Hey, Lance.
Hey, guys. Let me get UCF.
All right.
UAB and the Irish.
He sounds a little bit like John Parker Wilson there.
Oh, really? I didn't notice that.
UAB, we talked about this game a lot, but going to Texas A&M, it's defense versus Kellen Mond, who occasionally is a little scattered this year. Clemson, by far, his best game this year.
Well, I think you're going to see a lot of defense, and this is one of those you might want to take a look at the under. You look at A&M holding opponents to 80 rushing yards per game. That's first in the SEC, second in the FBS. For UAB to have any success offensively, it's going to be about Spencer Brown. But you look at UAB, they've held six opponents to under 10 points this season. That is insane. I think A&M's offense could have problems with this UAB defense.
Westy in Hueytown. Hi, Westy.
Hey, guys.
Hey, man.
Iowa State.
All right.
West Virginia. Fresno State.
Thank you, buddy.
Iowa State, Lance, they're ranked. Their coach is a hot commodity, but they're playing a Texas team on the road there in Austin. And for some reason, is it the helmet? Is it uniform? I always think Texas is going to play well.
Well, this is the 500th game at Darrell K. Royal Memorial Stadium. It opened back in 1924. The 58th matchup, ranked matchup of those 500 games. I read an article this week on Iowa State, and I like Matt Campbell the more and more I read about it. Did you guys realize that Brock Purdy almost signed with Nick Saban?
Really?
Yeah, that was his final. It was the decision between Iowa State to come and actually back up Tua or to go to Iowa State and potentially be the starter. I think he made the right decision. He's 5-0 as a starting quarterback, averaging almost 11 yards per attempt. That's second behind only Kyler Murray right now.
Most of America can't even see this game on the Longhorn Network, but it should be a good game, I think.
You say he made the right decision. Look at how many fourth quarters he would have played in this year if he was backing up Tua.
good point.
Yeah. Jeter in Birmingham is next. Hey, Jeets.
Happy football Friday.
Happy football, Jeter.
Give me Alabama.
Okay.
Auburn.
Mm-hmm.
And Duke.
And Duke. We talked about Duke a little bit later on. Let's talk about Auburn in this game. What do you think, Lance, Auburn needs to do to start preparing for the Iron Bowl? Give me one thing there.
I mean, I don't know what to tell you, Dunaway. I mean, I think it's so late in the season, you're not going to find an offensive identity. And you're playing a Liberty team that you know you're going to win. Auburn, though, if we're just looking at the pure number, they're 1-4 as a double-digit favorite this year. I don't know what you can actually do. I know that sounds weird, but I mean, would you guys agree it's a little late in the season to capture an offensive identity?
I think Malzahn will go in and try to run the heck out of it because it's what he does, and it won't matter. Anthony in Pell City, our final one in this segment. Hey, Anthony.
Hey, give me Pitt.
All right.
Ohio State.
All right.
And Michigan State.
Pitt needs a win to clinch their division and play in the ACC championship game at Wake Forest. Why do I feel good about Wake in this one?
Well,
Wake can run the football, and we're still just waiting for Pat Narduzzi's squad to not play well, and they're actually playing their best football. They've covered four consecutive games, and it's a team that obviously controls their own destiny. I think Pitt wins the game, but I think it's a little tighter than most people think.
Not my stat. It was on Stanford Steve gave it out on SportsCenter last night with Scott Van Pelt. Florida State, 2-12-1 in their last 15 against the spread.
Yeah, not good.
2-12-1. But a lot of people like them this weekend.
Well, I don't know if people do. I think most people like BC.
All right here on the show or jocksfm.com/pick3. The only places you can participate. No emails, no texts, no tweets, no handing it to us in the public. Do it here or do it at jocksfm.com/pick3. Johnny is up first. Hey, Johnny.
Hey, good morning.
Hey, buddy.
2 weeks in a row, let's hope.
Let's go.
Let's get Syracuse.
Okay.
To win outright.
All right.
I'd like Cincinnati to shut the people up in Central Florida. And I like Ohio State to cover.
All right.
So Cincinnati, if they win LT, what happens that gives them a chance to do this? Why do so many people like them?
Well, they do two things really good. They play great defense, and this is a team that also runs the football. Michael Warren's a guy that goes 108 yards per game. He's second in the FBS in rushing touchdowns. So if they're able to control the clock, keep Mackenzie Milton off the field, and play the defense they play throughout the AAC conference schedule, Pittsburgh can actually win this game.
Will is in Hoover. He is next. Hey, Will.
Hey, morning, guys.
Hey, buddy.
I'm going to do Wake Forest, Ole Miss, and the Blazers of UAB.
We talked a lot about UAB Texas A&M a little bit earlier this hour. When you talk about Ole Miss playing at Vandy, this offense has lived up to its billing this year for the most part. The Rebs have been there.
Well, and I think that would end up being the difference if you really break this down is Ole Miss's ability to score. Obviously a critical game, not that they can actually get bowl eligible, but this is one of those momentum kind of shifting wins for Ole Miss. And going into the season, it was one of those that you kind of circled on the calendar. You thought Ole Miss would win, but now seems to be kind of a coin flip game.
Nikita.
What's up?
I can do your voice better today than ever with Nikita.
Listen, let me get Ohio State.
All right.
Syracuse and Utah State.
Okay.
Utah State's one of those teams, LT, you've seen them a lot, that nobody's talking about, but there they are in the college football rankings now. If UCF lost, Cincinnati probably jumps over them, but they're still hoping for a chance to to play their way into a New Year's Six Bowl game.
Yeah, and this is just one of those teams, again, that will not lose this weekend. They can clinch the Mountain Division with a win and a Boise loss this week. They're averaging 51 points per game.
Wow.
Did you guys realize they've scored 50-plus points six times this year? That's tied with Alabama for the most in the FBS. It's Utah State.
Wow. Yeah. It's impressive.
And that was one of those early games on a Thursday or Friday night we all watched against Michigan State, and they almost pulled the upset. And yeah. We were like,
and they beat them now. They would beat Michigan State if they played.
Yeah, and that team, they almost did that night, and that team was so fun that night. Yep.
Let's go to Amy in Northport next on the Dreamland Pick 3. Hey, Amy.
Good morning, guys.
Hey.
I'm going with Texas.
All right.
North Carolina State and Nevada.
Thank you, ma'am.
Well, you're right about North Carolina State is getting played heavy. For Texas, what are they still playing for, LT? Where's the momentum for the Longhorns in this one, do you think?
Well, you know, one thing to look at, again, the expectation for Texas, and especially coming off the Oklahoma win, was to win the Big 12 and maybe make a run at college football playoff. And then, you know, you lose back-to-back games and really should have lost again last week. But Sam Ehlinger is still playing at an exceptional level. He's thrown 280 straight passes without an interception. Not only is that a Texas record, it's a Big 12 record. He's not turning the football over.
How about that? Big 12 record.
Steve McCalla is next on the Dreamland Barbecue Pick 3. Hey, Steve.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Awesome, buddy.
All right. Hey, I'm on Syracuse.
Yep.
Texas A&M. And Texas.
Okay.
All right. Texas A&M on the other side of that UAB game. For this Aggie team down the stretch, right now, if you said Jimbo Fisher, positive first season, what you expected or underachieved?
I would say what I expected. Just kind of an average product. And you look at A&M, the defense has been good, bringing Mike Elko over again. They're holding opponents to 80 rushing yards per game. That's first in the SEC, second in the FBS. They're 11-0 all-time against CUSA opponents. Something's got to give because UAB goes 238 a game on the ground. And again, A&M's one of the best at limiting teams on the ground. If UAB can get some yards, I think they got a shot.
Brown, when they had only lost to Alabama and Clemson and they were playing really good football, I thought this was going to be a special year. It sort of has settled back into what I expected.
Yeah, I mean, there's a chance that letting that Auburn game get away will be the difference in 7 and 8 wins for him, and it would look a lot different.
It would look different. You're right.
B. Rich is in Huntsville. Hey, B. Rich.
Hey, fellas. Hey, quick question, LT. What are we playing that Citadel game at?
Citadel, we listed it at 51.5, so obviously it would be pushed up. Alabama would be minus 41.5, or Citadel would be plus 61.5.
All right, let me get Citadel, Ohio State, and Oklahoma.
Thank you, man.
Oklahoma, LT, with Kansas this weekend, very quietly sitting there hoping to get into the college football playoffs and run the score up on somebody.
I can't overstate how bad their defense was last week. They gave up 7.4 yards per play last week in Stillwater. We are talking about a Kansas team that's not good. Obviously, they fired their coach. But 3 wins this season for the Jayhawks, that matched their total over the last 3 years.
Did you see the tweet? Klatt retweeted this from Phil Still. Oklahoma is averaging 8.91 yards per play, which is number 1 in the country. Number 2 is Alabama. It's 7.76 per play.
Wow.
And as Klatt points out, the difference between number 1 Oklahoma and number 2 Alabama is 1.15 yards per play. That's the same difference between number 2 Alabama and number 15 Nebraska. That's the kind of gap Oklahoma has in a yards per play category. That's insane, man. George is in Union Grove. Hey, George.
Hey, in the Citadel?
Yeah.
Auburn.
All right.
And UAB.
All right. Staying all local there. For Auburn this week against Liberty, he's still looking for a run game. Defensively, though, that team at times, the offense leaves them looking a little tired at the end of the game sometimes.
Well, and if you're Auburn and Kevin Still, you clean that up against Liberty and at least build a little bit of confidence going into this Alabama game, because last week, DeAndre Swift gashed that defense.
All right, a couple more here. Seminole Steve is next with us on the Dreamland Barbecue Pick 3. Hey, Seminole Steve.
Hey, how's it going,
guys? Awesome, buddy. Thank you.
All right, let me get Ohio State,
yep,
Auburn, and Clemson.
Clemson's Tigers there. Trevor Lawrence getting more and more experience. This is a good game this weekend of 2 good quarterbacks. One, you say, is really being looked at by NFL scouts, and it's not Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, well, Trevor Lawrence will be that guy in a couple of years, but Daniel Jones right now is one of the top quarterbacks on the NFL board. Again, Duke hasn't been great this year. It's a team that hasn't won in Clemson since 1980. And you look at Clemson, their last 5 outings, they have dominated their opponents. They've outscored opponents 267-43.
Orlando and Fairfield. Hello, Orlando.
Hey, how you doing? Let me ask you a question. What's the Auburn line?
We are playing Auburn. Remember, it's our 10-point teaser week, so they're an 18.5-point favorite over Liberty. On the Liberty side, they're a 38.5-point underdog to Auburn.
Okay, I'll tell you what. Give me Liberty strangely, because I saw them play a couple of weeks ago against Troy.
Okay.
Alabama and Texas A&M.
All right, buddy.
Yep. So that Liberty team is a good point. They have beaten Troy, lost their quarterback. Sawyer's playing better now there. And then they played Virginia last week, LT, and I thought they played them really well. Lost that game at the end. Virginia's had moments this year, so this Liberty team is not as bad as some of the SEC opponents this week.
And look, Virginia is not Auburn's defense, but Virginia does have a top 25-like defense under Bronco Mendenhall. So I think Liberty will come in with confidence, thinking that they actually can compete with Auburn.
All right, David in Northport, our Dreamland Barbecue pick three. Hey, David.
Hey, I'm going to take a whole bunch of points. I want Kansas, Liberty, and UAB.
You got a bunch. You're right.
Yeah, absolutely. For Kansas, I know they're waiting on a coach. It looks like Les Miles is going to be that guy right now, but some people are saying maybe Purdue for Les Miles with Jeff Braun going. He's a Big Ten guy. Which, if you're Les Miles, do you take, Purdue or Kansas? Easy answer?
There's less expectation at Kansas. I think I might take Kansas.
Better chance of winning at Purdue. You could win that division at Purdue, Lance.
Possibly, but you look again what Iowa State's doing with Matt Campbell. I don't think Matt Campbell will be there long, and if Kansas can be the new Iowa State, I mean, there's just not a lot of expectation. Win 6-7 games, you're fine.
Again, with Les Miles doing that settlement with LSU and leaving some dollars on the table, it looks like he's got a new job somewhere. People speculating it's Kansas, where he'll be reunited with Jeff Long. They were back at Michigan together back in the day. That's our Dreamland Pick 3 for today, brought to you by Dreamland.
The housing market is hot. There are three times more buyers than sellers. It's more important now than ever to make sure you have your financing in place before you even find the house. Get pre-approved today at thehomeloanexpert.com. The Home Loan Expert, LLC.